Okay, we're picking up four lines from the bottom of Dalet Amud Beis, where are the words of Abaye Shara. So the Gemara is now talking about other examples where it's going to be permitted to clear out water from something that's being blocked. Abaye Shara Livnei Bar Chamdach. Hamdach l'shulchei nahara. The Rabbi permitted the people of Bar Chamdach to clear out a river during Chol HaMoed from the branches of the trees that were growing in it. That's how Rashi explains it. Rabbi Yirmiyah Hashara lu livnei sachvasa l'michrei nahara t'mima. The Rabbi Yirmiyah also permitted the people of Sachvasa to dig away the source of a river that had become clogged up. Ravashi Hashara lu livnei masa machsia l'achduchei nahara bortnitz. That the people of Bnei Machsa were clearing away a type of sandbank, as Rashi describes it, from the middle of the Bortnitz River. And this was something that they did in order to fix the situation. Amar kevan teshasu minei rabim, because the public drink from it. Kirabim dami, that's for it's considered the needs of the public. But now we learn in the Mishnah osikor tzechirabim, and from here Ravashi's point seems to be, according to the Rush, that even something which is a tirchei sira, which is needed to clear the river, is going to be permitted if there's a tzorach rabim, a public need is being fulfilled on Chol HaMoed itself, and this is a major heter for tzorach rabim, as the Rush tells us over here from this Gemara. Turning on to now Hey Amud Aleph, Masaknin S Kilkulei Hamayim Mayim Shabrishus Harabim. So if you have a damaged cistern, you can fix it. You're allowed to clear them out of anything that any debris, anything that's ruining it. Chatita in Chafirlo. So clearing out the cisterns is going to be mutter. The Gemara's make a deal, because seemingly digging a new cistern is not going to be mutter on Chol HaMoed. Now Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shano Ela Shein Rabim Tarchan. But this halacha also is that the new cisterns only be usher except when the public doesn't need them for Chol HaMoed. Aval Rabim Tarchlem Afilu Chafir. But where the public does in fact need them, it's going to be mutter. If the public needs a new cistern, then it's going to, in order to have the water to drink on the chag, on the Chol HaMoed, then it's going to be mutter even to dig them. According to this, Rabbi Yaakov, named Rabbi Yochanan, the reason the Mishnah is telling us that cisterns are in the Rishus Rabbim is not to imply that the public needs the cisterns, but rather they are to indicate they belong to the Rabbim, that they belong to the Rabbim. That's going to be what the Mishnah is mentioning. Well, and that would be the day on the Mishnah, but if they needed it, and Echanam would be mutter. The verse says, but where the public needs these new cisterns, is it really going to be permitted? Vatana, don't we learn in a Braisa? We're allowed to clear out the pits, the wells, the ditches, and the caves of an individual during Chol HaMoed. And it is not needed, you don't even mention that those of the public, we don't dig the new pits, the ditches, and the caves of the public. And it's obviously mentioned that you're not allowed to do this of a yachid. My love, v'sharabim tzarichlem. So now the Gemara says, isn't this Braisa talking about a case where the public needs the pits of the chag? And nevertheless, the Braisa says that you're not allowed to dig new ones, and therefore it should be us. So this is the Chora Kasha and Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, Lo, k'shein rabim tzarichlem. The Braisa is referring to a case where the public doesn't need these pits, and that's why it's us. So the Gemara says, the Gemara analyzes it though. If that's the case, what's the parallel case in the Braisa? The parallel case is the case of an individual who the Braisa mentioned, Shein Yachid Tzarchlem, where the individual doesn't need them. So the Braisa says that, and you don't need them, and you're allowed to be clearing them out. Chatita Mishari, in that case, the Braisa had said that, in that case, clearing out the pits on Chol HaMoed would be permitted even when they're not necessarily needed by the Yachid. But that wouldn't line up because the Braisa tells us, you may gather water into pits, ditches, and caves of an individual during Chol HaMoed, and you're not allowed to clear out the debris and other things of them. And nor allowed to plaster the cracks. However, if it is a rabim, it is going to be mutter v'shafen sidkeim. You let it plaster the cracks. Now you're going to tell me that the Braisa, which is telling you that it's mutter to clear out the debris of an individual, is a case where they are needed for the chag. Then we can say that this Braisa, which is saying that that's usher, is referring to where they're not needed. But if you assume that the earlier Braisa refers to a case where they're not needed, and yet the Braisa said it's mutter, then there's a stira between that Braisa and this Braisa, that which if it's not even needed, the first Braisa says it's mutter, whereas this Braisa says it's usher. But if you say that they were both in a case where they're needed, then there's not going to be a stira between the braces. But Elamai, so how are you going to explain the first brace? Where individual needs these pits. So then, which would be the parallel case by the public? Where the public needs the pits, and the brace is telling it's usher to dig a new pit. But is digging a new pit usher when the public needs them? We gather water into pits, ditches, and caves of an individual. You're not plastering the cracks or clear them. You can put them on the line onto it. They used to do that to make them stronger. Of the entire pit, they used to do that to make them the pit stronger. Mishal Rabim, and in regards to the public ones, Chofer Nosam Bimeil, you're allowed to dig them, Besadi Nosam Besid, and you're allowed to put them with lime. So this place says that we're referring to a case where something is needed, and it says that it's allowed to be dug. So Lachora, you're stuck. Either way you explain the Braisa, it's a little bit difficult. So therefore the Marsa Ella Kasha Hakka Maisa. But then the first Braisa, which apparently says it's usher to dig new pits, is a problem with this last Braisa. So there's a steer between the Braises over here. So the Gemara therefore says we have to fix the first braisa. What are we going to say? Taratach. Let's give the following answer. You're allowed to clear out the pits of an individual where he needs them, and obviously you don't need to mention, meaning in Tarach Lomar is going to help us out, that you don't even need to mention that those are the public Sharabim when the public needs them. Because even digging them is going to be permitted where the public needs them, and therefore the braisa is not going to be a steer with Rabbi Yochanan, who said that if the public needs them, you're allowed to even dig a new one, as this braisa is now the amendation, the fixing of the braisa is going to say this halacha. You don't dig new pits, ditches, and caves, but in Rabbin Tarachim where they don't need them, and obviously in Tarach Lomar Shayachid in Tarach Chachidem feel the Chatitin of Yasir, where that's where of the Rabbim don't need it. You're not allowed to dig a new pit, and Kol Shekein of a Yachid of an individual, you're not allowed to dig a new pit, and not only that, even clearing them out is going to be Asir where the Yachid doesn't need it, and therefore it's not a steer to the second Braisa, which tells us that Lo Chotitin, in the case of Lo Chotitin, where the guy doesn't need it. That's what we're bringing a raya for. Now the Gemara says Amar Ravashi. Actually, we can explain this as a diok. We can explain this inference actually from the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah says, "Diktani osim kol terachem osim kol kol terachem." You're allowed to do anything of the public needs. And where says kol to yemai? What is the lashon of kol? Kol always has come to include something else that I wouldn't have thought otherwise. What was this other thing that I wouldn't have thought otherwise? Kol to yemai lav lasuy chafira lechor. This is coming to include digging a new cistern. Digging a new cistern is going to be something which is going to be mutter. Lo, latuye haidus ano, is according to a different case of the braisa. Yotzin lekavitz es a dvarim, yotzin lekavitz es a drachim, rather. It's coming, the shlichim of the basin, they go out during chalmai to clear out the roads of thorns, but the sacnes rachovas, ve es as drukolos. They come and they repair the roads and the market streets, ve lamaras and mikvahs, also mention the mikvahs, make sure there's, you need arbaim sa. Chol mikvah shem barbasa, and the mikvah does not have 40 sa of water, margilan stochet arbaim sa. We direct water into it to complete the Arbaim Sa, obviously not through She'uvim. You cannot do it through drawn water. You have to make it in a way that the water will come in flowing with like a separate canal or something like that. Even Bismarck said that's how they have to build. How do you get water from the roof? The way they have it through the roof is that you're not allowed to have it on a 90 degree angle anywhere the water coming in. So the way they have to make it be creative, how they get the water into the actual Bor HaMikvah. And what do I learn if the agents of the court, the shlichim of the basin, they don't do this? Then it's as if they spilled the blood of the people, because over here, again, if someone was injured by the thorns, or somebody was going on the roads and was able to flee to a certain place, the Masakin Azrachim, that's part of the basin's responsibility. Talmud Lomar, V'aya Lecha Damim, that innocent blood is going to be killed in your land, the blood is going to be on you, and here also, it's innocent blood, and you didn't take care of making sure that the drachim were properly set to get their puddles in the streets and things like that people could fall in. They have to make sure that those things are taken care of. So the Gemara says that at that point, that's what's included by the Mishnah, but that's explicitly mentioned in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that you repair the roads, you repair the mikvahs. So the kol isn't to include something which the Mishnah had already told us explicitly is going to be part of what you have to do or take care of before the Amim Tovim, so it can't be that this is something which is coming as the kol. So therefore the Gemara says, so what does it mean when we're coming to include the public needs, everything is included. So the Gemara says, "Latuya chafir lechor." This is coming to include even digging a new cistern. And in Chanami, that's a good deal. Mamash like Rabbi Yochanan, Shmamina, learn for that digging a new cistern in the public is going to permit it for the public needs, and that is going to be something which is mutter to do even on Chol HaMoed. Now the Gemara continues with Tzayinus Hakvaros. You're allowed to mark the graves of you're supposed to be marking the graves before Chol HaMoed. So now the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Shimon Pazi, Remez Latin Kvaros from the Torah Minayin." How do we have a remez, an allusion to the fact that the graves is going to be required by Torah law. It's interesting that when the lashon of the remez is a shaila in Shas, does remez usually mean something which is a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan? Tosfos over here assume that he's actually mentioning something which is a din d'oraisa, and we're going to see for the Hemshech Gemara that's actually mashma like that in the Gemara. And we have like remez leidin zomim min haTorah, remez liyichud min haTorah minayin. We have different things where the Gemara will use lashonos of remez, and the Gemara seems to imply that those cases are d'oraisa. So here Tosfos assume that this is din d'oraisa, that you should mark a grave. Talmud Leimer, the pasuk says, "Re etzem Adam, Adam of Uvana Etzotzion. You're going to see a human bone, you're going to make a mark near. This is referring to the Pesukim in Yechezkel, which actually talks about the war of Gog and Magog. In the aftermath of the war of Gog and Magog, you're going to have to be Mitzayan because there's going to be so many dead bodies of Gog. So you have to build a Tzion, you have to make a proper grave mark to show that you don't want to get Tame from the area of the dead bodies of Gog, of Gog's army. So the Gemara says, wait a second, if you're assuming this is like Meduik, if you're assuming it's a Dindaraisa, and Yechezkel's coming and telling us this halacha, so how do we, before Yechezkel, who told us this halacha? It's a Dindaraisa. So how could it be that we only have this pasuk from Yechezkel? So Gemara says, Tamayach, but according to what you're saying, Hadamar of Chista, what Shir Chista is in a different context, Dabar Zem, Matarius Moshe, Minu Lolamanu, that a Kohen, who is, for whatever reason, it doesn't have a bris mila, he's puzzled to do the avoda. The Mishnah of Zrachim counts it as people who are Usher and even B'di'evid, even after the fact if he did the Avodah is P'sula if he does it. So how do we know this source? The Gemara says, of course, it's Pasuk in the Cheskel. And so we learn, what do we see with that the we don't learn from Moshe in the Torah, but in Yechezkel ben Buzi, the man, we learn from Yechezkel ben Buzi, the Navi Yechezkel, who said, "Call ben Nechar Relev, Varev Asar, lo yavol mikdash, anyone a stranger, uncircumcised of the heart, uncircumcised of the flesh, shall come to my temple. Come to the base of Mikdash, you come to the base of Mikdash." And now, what is this Pasuk telling us? That someone who's an Arelev, someone who's uncircumcised heart, that's someone who's a Navi Kari, someone who doesn't believe in the Torah, he doesn't believe in the Yud Gimel Kari Muna, whatever it might be, so to find somebody as an apikoros, a non-believer in Yiddishkeit. That person is not allowed to do the avodah Beis HaMikdash. Also, someone who doesn't have a bris milah, for whatever reason, let's say his brother's died of bris milah, an example like, so then he has a ptur, if the thing is two brothers, right? What is it? I remember two or three brothers, that they died of bris milah, he also is not, even him, where he's putter, he also is not allowed to do the avodah. So the Gemara asks the same question, who told us this halacha? We know that this is a tradition, this was always a halacha. Ela Gemara Gemila, rather, we have to assume that this was always a tradition back from Moshe Rabbeinu Bar Sinai, and just Asir Cheskel Vasmechav Kram, Cheskel came to give an actual allusion to it in a pasuk, the first pasuk in Tanakh. Hachanami Gemara Gemila Vasir Cheskel Vasmechav Kram, and Cheskel came and gave it a support. This is a very important Gemara over here because we see a fundamental point. A lot of times it's something that bothers people, that how can we quote Pesukim or Dinim on a level of Doraisa, the different Dinim of Rismila, things like that, which we see in our Ma'akiv sometimes on a level of Doraisa, if they're Pesukim in Tanakh, not in Tanakh, let's say Nevi'im Ksuvim, then Nach. How could you quote them? So this Gemara is really the answer you could always use. This Gemara is assuming that when the Gemara does such a thing like that, if the Gemara doesn't have the Shaka Vitaria and has such a thing like that, so the Gemara is very clear over here that what it must mean is that first it was a din, it was always a Masorah from Moshe Rabbeinu, it was always a din to Reisa, and then what happened was is the Navi came and decided to write it down to solidify it as a din, as an Asmachta, and something that we should know is a real full-fledged din. So that's a very important Gemara over here that we see just the Shalshas Dvarim for when there's a Pasuk that's teaching us a din to Reisa. And that it's not necessarily in the Torah, but rather in Nach. So now the mark is another allusion to the idea of marking graves. Tosus pointed out by our Papa that Kol Chad V'Chad Nakid Ma'id Ha'avim Masik Adaisei V'Lo Pligi El Orcha De Milsak the Kol Chad Masik Adaisei Ma'id Lo Masik Chavrei Adaisei, that each one is giving a different source. There's not necessarily machlokas over here for different psukim to the practice of marking graves. Rabbi Bao Amar Mehacha V'Tamei Tamei Yikra Pasuk Mamish in the Torah that the Metzora has to call out I'm Tamei. That's the pasuk in Metzora. So the Gemara says that rather I think in Tazria Tuma Korav Lo V'Omer Es Lo Parsh. You see over here that he's telling the person who's passing him, keep away from me, he's telling him to stay away, so you shouldn't become Tamei, you should recognize and stay far away from me, not become Tamei, because I'm a Metzora. Amar Rabbi Uziel Barbre, the Rabbi Uziel Rabba, when Rabbi Uziel, the son of Uziel the Great, was saying this pasuk, Tuma Korah Lo V'Amaris Lo Parsh, he's saying, Tuma calls out to him and says, keep away from me. The Gemara says that, and so therefore we have a drasha saying that keep away from me, keep away from someone who's tamei, and therefore also keep away from graves that are tamei and things that are to become tamei. This is again specifically for obviously aliyah l'regel. This is for kohanim who have an iser to become tamei, and also this is also for a someone who has a kachim or truma that they these all these cases where people have to stay away from tuma. But this pasuk is coming to teach this halacha. But isn't this teaching a different halacha? A brayso v'tamei tamei yikra that he should call out I'm tamei. Tzarech lo dila tzarech lo rabim. He must inform the public of his misfortune, of the bad thing that happened to him. And people should down from this is one of the sources. Actually, very people don't like to do that. People a lot of times like to keep things private. Everything obviously is the cheshbon with the rav. But be'etzem, the idea that a person rachmana latzan, we shouldn't have this in anyone. But if a person chas v'shalom sick, there is an idea that a person should be mefarsim that to the rabbim in order that the rabbim should be davening for him. We learn this from the case of the matzorva tamei tamei yikra that the public people will cry out on his behalf, they'll daven on his behalf, and he'll have a refuah shleima. That's be'etzem. Again, there's a lot of other cheshbonas. Person that wants a privacy, etc., etc. Every case needs to be consulted with the Rav, but Be'etzem, if there's no other cheshbonos, and Rachmana Litzlan, again, it shouldn't be no gift for anybody, but if a person is in that situation, Rachmana Litzlan, then a person, the Gemara here tells us that you should tell the Rabbim in order that they should daven for you and bevakesh rachamim, and you know that the Rabbim have much more greater koach of tefillah. So the Gemara says, Im Kain, so if this is the case, he's telling us about a Metzora, so then Lichtav, Tame Yikra, just say that he's gonna call it on Tame. Why does he say Tame, Tame Yikra? Two times. Tame, I'm calling out twice, I'm Tame. Show me the Torah so we can learn both drushas. That one is that he should tell others about his misfortune, that she's down for him. And the second one is that they should stay away from him. Tame, Tame, that I'm Tame. Stay away from me because I don't want you to become Tame. Now the Gemara quotes more psukim. Before a blind person, you should not place a stumbling block. And therefore, you don't want to make someone who's not realizing that he's going to become Tame. That's not something you want him to do. That's what the whole lesson of Lifnei Iver is, that the blind person in this halacha, you're making him do an avera. We don't want to do that. Rapapa Amar Vayamar Sulu Sulu Bnei Darach. Rapapa said another pasuk. He's going to say pave clear, literally pave clear from the road. That's what this pasuk is telling us in Yeshayahu. The marking grace is clearing the path for people to travel without becoming tamei. That's what this pasuk is referencing to. Rav Chanina Amar Harimim Moshel Medarachami. Remove an obstacle from my people's path, and the obstacle here again becoming tamei is something that you should remove, and that's an allusion again to the fact that you should make sure he's becoming tamei. And then we have another pasuk, Rav Yeshua Bray de Rav Idi Amar Vodat Lemasaderech Yelchuba, that the pasuk they should go and with the derech in which they should go, which are referencing over here, marking graves, they should go literally where how they should go. Marzut Amar Vizarta Mesmezel with Tumasam, you should separate Kali Yisrael from Tuma. And so that's also another pasuk telling us you should become Tame on the regular. I think Rashi and Chumash quotes this drasha. Ravashi Amar Ushmarta Mesh Mismarti, you should make a safeguard among my halacha. This reference specifically to Truma. We learn from here, Asu Mishmeret L'Mishmarti, you should make a safeguard on Shuma, which also, my charges, also the source for all Dim Darabanan. All Siagim Darabanan have an allusion to the fact that Pasuk Daraisa, Ushmart Mishmarti, not just my Shmeret of Truma, but all halachas, that you should make a fence around my halachas, that people shouldn't come to violate these halachas, and that's something which we learn, that the Siag Daraisa, that the Siag to prevent the Daraisa is really a source in the Torah itself to tell us to do this halacha. Ravina Mar Vesam Derech Arenu Beisha Elokim, that one who sets the way, I will show him the salvation of Hashem, and this is also setting the way by providing people the information not to become tame. Now that once the Gemara was on this lesson of Vesam Derech Irena B'Shalukim, the Gemara is going to get into a different discussion about this. Rav Shimon ben Levi, Kolasem Aruchusav, anyone who cheshbons his ways, always cheshbons his char, the mitzvah connected to his char and aver, even when he's doing something, is it right or is it wrong? Am I doing what Ratzon Hashem is? Zochav Rav B'Shalukim Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he's going to witness the salvation of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar Vesam Derech, person is Vesam, he's setting the way. Al Tikra Vesam, rather Ela Vesham Derech Irena B'Shalukim. That Vesham, you or Vesham, you're defining which ways you should go in, then you're going to be zochet to see the salvation of Hashem and be saved from Hashem. That's Vesam Vesham, is to teach you the additional level of interpretation that you're able to get the salvation of Hashem. And the Gemara just relates a Maisa about this. Rabbi Yani Avila Yahu Talmid, Rabbi Yana is Talmud Muvak, is great sharpest student that Kol Yomai Vemakshel. He was always asking kashas in the shir, always asking very strong kashas in the shir. B'Shabbas Regila Avi Makshel Ayaver, when it was Shabbas Regila, they would always give before the time of the Yamim Tovim, the 30 days before, they would give a big Shabbos drasha, like a Shabbos Agadol drasha. Everyone from the town would come, and they would go over the halachas, and this Talmud did not ask any shilas before, because he was going to embarrass him if he did. So that Rabbi Machsef Rashi says, so he would have embarrassed him if he didn't know the answer. He would have responded with this kasha. So Karla Rabbi Yana was very impressed with him. That he was able to realize now is not the time for these kashas. The Ritva explains further that not only that, he weighed the possibility of the fact that this one kasha is not necessarily a wrong halacha, but just a kasha. Now he's explaining something. So then it's not appropriate to embarrass somebody for that. You go up to him after and ask his kasha. You don't have to ask in the middle of the shir. And that's something which he was cheshboning out, which that he was very happy. Rabbi Yana was very impressed with this point that he did. Now the Gemara continues. Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Ein Metzayanin, we do not make a marker, lo al kazayis min ames, neither for an olive's volume of a dead body, below al etzim kisaura, nor from the bone of the size of a barley grain, below al davar sheinim atame be'ol, not for anything that does not transmit tuma by way of an oal, because you could see it, l'chora. So anything that's, again, there's three types of tuma. It's important to know this. There's three types of tuma. There's tumas maga, where you directly touch something. There's tumas masa, is that if something is in a box or you're carrying it, that's also going to come tummy, even if it's indirect touching, like heses, through like that, that's going to become tummy. Or tumas ohel. Tumas ohel is It's a way, if a person are both under the same roof, or if the tumah is directly over a person, and therefore making the oil itself, or if the person is directly under it, you're directly over it, and that oil is also going to become a tumas oil. There's ola ala rakia, that's all tumas oil. So tumas oil, not every tameh mace is going to become tumas oil. If you have just a kazayas, an etzim kesorah, let's say, but before that, a bone the size of a barley sized grain, that is something which is only metame tumas maga, it's not only by touching, not through oil. So if it's not metame through oil, if it's not metame oil, you don't have to metayin that. Metayin al sidro ve'al golgolas. However, you do make a marker for a spinal or a skull, because those things are metame through tumas ohel. So basically, they're making them together that anything that's through tumas ohel is something you have to metayin. Something that's not through tumas ohel, you would not have to metayin. Why is that? Why is that the halacha? Because be'etzem, no pun intended, be'etzem, we just said kisora, okay, the bones, whatever. So when it comes to the halachas of tumah over here, if you're gonna, you could see it. You'll see it in front of you, so then you're not gonna touch it. However, walking over it when it's under the ground or something like that, that's what we're afraid of, then you'd have to metayin for that. So if it's a case of tumas, oh, then you're gonna have to machmir. And therefore also, al rov binyan val rov minyan ames. If you have the majority of the skeleton, the body, or the bones of a body, those things are going to be metame either in through, tumah of oel, and therefore those things you have to be metayin, other things you would not have to be metayin. And the Gemara continues, the Gemara says, "V'ein metzayinin al havados." You don't make markers for a definite tumah when it's every, like, let's say you have a basic varos that everybody knows is a grave site. There's a graveyard there. You don't have to be metzayin that. Everyone knows that. A metzayin al asfekos, however, if it's a questionable area where people aren't sure of, then if there's a reason there was a barrel there and something was likely to have a barrel there, then we would in fact have to be metzayin it. Avelu and asfekos, these are considered things that are questionable, which are likely that there was a dead body there. Schachos uparos ubeis apras. If you have canopy, literally a canopy like thing that's protruding over something else in a base of brass, a field which a grave is plowed over, those two things are things that after the Matayan is tameh. And here over here we're talking about things that would, a road that would lead to a graveyard, and they would overhang the tree branches, and then they were an area that was private, people would bury their dead there, and therefore it would be, they can't reach the graveyard, maybe people would just bury to the nearest canopy and would not even bother making it to the gravesite. That's apparently something that used to happen. So therefore we would assume that maybe there's a real chance that there would be a dead body there. And we don't make a place of a mark directly over the case of the area of the tumah, because someone can walk there, all of a sudden he's going to see the sign when he's already stepped there. Put the sign a few feet before, whatever, however much before it has to be, in order that they should see it before they go into the area which is going to make them tameh. But don't make it too far. Don't put it like 50 feet away, because if you do it 50 feet away, because what's going to happen is people are going to see that area, and the area they're going to say, this is a makam that's tameh. People are going to assume that that land behind the marker is tameh, and people are going to not want to plow anything or plant anything in that area, because they're going to assume it's tameh, and they don't want to deal with that. So therefore, they don't make it too far. You have to be very careful. Exact numbers, how to make sure it's not going to become too far from the grave, but not too close to the grave either. When the mace in a tameh, but oh, when we're asked the question, wait a second, an alio's amount of a tameh dead person is not going to be become a tameh through oil, because we said you don't have to metayin a kazayas. But the Mishnah says explicitly, this is something which transmits tumah away of oil. Again, we had said there's three examples of oil. Either you go over it, it is over you, or you're in the same room as it, and there's an oil over both of you. So though all three of those examples, kazayas min ames, and oil is a volume of a dead body, would be something which is included in this thing which is metameh ba'oel. So the Gemara answers, papa, halchab, kazayas metzumta maskina. So here we're dealing with exactly amount of an oil was amount, and therefore we know that it's going to shrivel up. The sos of mixer chaser, eventually it's going to shrivel up, and it's going to be less than the olive amount. Therefore, you don't have to mark it, because it's going to be problematic later. Because muta v'yisrafu lav truma katan levisha. It's better that people are going to not realize for this one moment, right now, the body didn't decompose yet, and therefore it's going to remain its olive amount, and then you should burn the truma v'yisrafu l'olam, and they shouldn't be burning it forever after it decomposes, because after that we know it's going to be less than a kazayas, and therefore it's going to be something which is not metame in the future. So rather, we'd rather just the person right now burn it, and then in the future people not going to burn kachim and truma for no purpose. The other way, Shonam asked a question though. The obvious question is that if you're not mitzayin it, if you don't mark it off, then how do people know about it? So what's going on over here? How do they know about it? So it must be is that during the short period of time between the burial and the fact that there's going to be less kazayas, people are still aware that there's a dead body there. So if you pass over it, apparently people are going to know that there was a freshly dead body buried there, and the kazayas was there, and therefore that's something which people will know about. But you have to make that a kimta. Otherwise, then you're going to come to lead to a person to eat kachin, which is an iser karis bishogeg. That's definitely not something which we want someone to do. That must not be the case. It must be that our pup was assuming that people will realize and they'll burn a truma when they hear about it. However, in the future they will not, and therefore not a problem. Ve'elu as in asvikos, Schachos uprawos. So these are the questionable cases of tuma. The if you have again the canter, the protrusions or base of pras. Schachos ilan amesach al aretz. These are the type of canopies that are overhanging from the ground. Pros of an improvus yotzim b'mageder. And protrusion refers to something which is going extending from a wall. Base of pras. What's the definition of base of pras? Kedusan was learned in the Mishnah. Achoresh as a kever arei who oser base of pras. Someone who's plowing over a grave is going to make the area a base of pras. The kamu oser. How much of the field does he have to do so to make it a base of pras? Malo mane mea ama. If it's a furrow's length, which is 100 amos from the grave, that whole area is going to be considered a brace of pass, and it's been plowed over. There's a concern that fragments of the bone are going to be throughout that area, and they're going to have an area with more kisaura that are going to create this tumah. Therefore, the whole area is dinder abanan, is a concept of a brace of pass, and that is something which you're going to the area midder abanan, you're going to become tame. Midaraisa, we're assuming that the whole area is suffic tumah, but it's just a rabim, and therefore not mitame, however, midder abanan, this is again an example of something which is tame. So the Gemara asks, brace of pass, mitame, oh, wait a second, brace of pass is going to be mitame even through awal. And away the person's going, let's say, to, I think the Gemara over there in the Brachos is talking about a case of doing a Korban Pesach. So then in that case, the Gemara quotes that you're allowed to go if you're stuck, and that's the only way to go through it. You can blow over the whole area to make sure there's no etzim kisaora, and walking through it is going to be fine in that circumstance. So we see that it's not matam ba'ol. Matam ba'ol is just walking over there would be a problem because we're afraid there's a dead body underground, which we're not afraid of. Rav Yehuda bar Ami Shmei Deula says Amar Besa Prash in this Torah, and a Besa Prash that was walked over by a lot of people, it's going to be tamar since we assume that all the people walking over are going to make the sizes smaller of each bone fragment is going to be less than an etzim kisaora, less than a grain of barley, then therefore it's not going to become tummy in that case. So we see over here, we're not concerned about a broke fragment that are lying beneath the ground, that we see that Beis HaPras is not going to be metame through Oel. So why then does the Beis tell us that it needs to be marked? So the Gemara says, Amar Papa, no, Lokasha Kan Besadish Avid Bakever. The Beis is talking about a Beis HaPras which a field of a grave of was lost. This thing is going to be Metame even Be'awel, and because we don't know where it is, we're making a suffik tuma in this area of 100 amos, even though Darabana, Midaraisa, suffik tuma Trusarabim is Tahar. Here we know there's a kever, we just know where it is. Through 100 amos, we're going to be machber. Kanvash Nechaba Kever, however, in a case where they plowed through it, there's two types of Besa Pras. That one is something which is not going to be Metame through Ohel. Visada Sha'avet Bakever, Besa Pras Karele, but the Gemara says, we'd really call it a Besa Pras in an area we just don't know where the kever is. The Gemara says, yes, in there it is. Vatanan, this is one of the examples in Avatan as Akash, Vatanan, and behold, we learn, Shlosha Beis HaPras, there's three categories of Beis HaPras. Sada Shinava Ben Kever, a field in which a grave was lost. Sada Shinava Ben Kever, a field in which a grave was plowed over. And even a third one, a Sada Bochen, and a field that's literally a crying field. What's this crying field? My Sada Bochen. Our answer is Rav Yeshua, Amar Shmei, Ula Amar Sada Shemat, it's called the crying field because that's where they used to do the Hespedim, and that's where they would cry over their dead bodies. And that area, at the time, why would that category be a base of pras? Amar says, because sometimes the abandonment of the bailim of the area, therefore they apply this halacha. Because what would happen over there? Rashi explains that since this area was something which was going to be an area which is they would give the hespedim in there, people would be given going back to the original owners, and assuming that they're burying it was going to rely on somebody else to bury it, and this would lead to maybe a limb, a whole entire limb being abandoned in the field. They're not going to see it. It was at nighttime, whatever it was, and therefore afraid that whole area is a tumah derabanan. Because the Gemara says, "V'sadish nechba kever lo ba'itzion," an area which in a field that the grave was plowed over doesn't require a marking. V'atana doing learn a brisa matza sadem etzionas v'in yodei mativa. If a person sees a marked field, we don't know what the deal is with this field. It was a plowed over grave, or was it a lost one? So you can assume yesh ba'ilanos b'yadosh nechba kever. If there are trees over this field, you can assume that there definitely was a grave plowed over it. Ein ba'ilanos b'yadosh shavar b'kever. But if there are no trees in the field, then you can assume that there is that there was a grave lost in it. Rabbi Udoimer ad sheyesham zaken otamin. No, they just. Unless there's an elder person or Talmud Chacham in the place who could testify that it was plowed, the fisha ein akol bekir bedavar. Not everybody knows the halachas. Not everybody knows exactly with regards to halachas about this din about having the dead body. So they're not going to pay attention to the status of it. However, Talmud Chacham or Zaken knows the halachas. So we see from the brisa that the marker is placed even by a field which is a plowed over grave that you would be matzai in that field. The Gemara says, "Amar Papa Kitanya Yid." In regards to that brisa, Bisadish Avad Kever Ditzuna. We're talking about a field which was in which would have a grave was lost, so that they marked it. And if a person needs to determine whether the field was plowed over, he may rely on the following: Yesh Ba Ilanas Gadosh Nefash Kever. If there were trees in the field, field, it is known that the grave was in fact plowed over. In Ba'ilanos Biyado Shavar Bekever, if there are no trees in the field, it is known that the grave is still intact and remains lost in it. So Gemara says, V'lichosh Dilma Ilanos Megavaya Bekever Mimbrai, but why don't we assume that maybe the trees are in the interior part of the field and the grave is in the exterior part, therefore it's possible the area of the grave was not plowed over. In that case, so then we would have a problem. So Gemara says, K'damar no, because there we give an answer of Ula. Be'omdim ala gvulin. We're talking about a case where the trees are situated on the boundaries of the field. Achanami be'omdim ala gvulin. So too over here, the trees are on the boundaries. Clearly, the grave is not located outside of the trees, and therefore the trees are running between the boundaries of the field and the public domain. Then obviously there's going to be no dead body buried over there. So the Gemara says, turning on to the next number now, Udilma tuma megavai v'linos, right? Maybe the tuma on the grave is on the in the interior part of the field, and the trees are on the outer part of the field. So the Gemara answers, no, it must be mesuvachin. We're talking about the trees are woven together, kilo. They're intertwined is a good word. They're intertwined over the entire field. Or you could say, but we said there's no distance to marker between the location of a tumah, so not to waste any part of our cell. Since the marker is we found near the trees, we can be certain that the grave was definitely plowed over, and therefore, we would assume, as she points out, that we know that there was only a grave in the specific area, and the existence of the trees of boundary proves that it was plowed over. That was what Rashi says over here. Okay, Beis Shem, we'll pick up with Rabbi Omer in tomorrow's daf.